History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should never go untold. Do they have to go untold? No, not necessarily. Not if we are willing to seize the moment and ask a few questions and, of course, patiently listen as some of those long-buried memories start to rise to the surface. This show exists because we want to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And when we set out to do that, it really is amazing what we end up with in return. Not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. Our last couple of episodes were preparing you for the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Next time, I hope to introduce you to a 100-year-old Pearl Harbor survivor who has never shared his story before. But today, we're going to focus on that hallowed ground in Hawaii again, because the vast majority of us were not there on December 7th, 2021, as that 80th anniversary was observed. 150 World War II veterans were there, and you're going to hear from some of them. Nearly half of that number traveled to Oahu with the Best Defense Foundation, a great cause for you to support with your end-of-the-year giving, if you're looking for one. And nine of that group with the Best Defense Foundation are veterans you've met right here on Hometown Heroes. But what did they actually see and hear there in Hawaii? We're going to sample some of that today. The Best Defense Foundation took them to the USS Missouri, where Japan's unconditional surrender was signed at the end of the war when the Mighty Mo was in Tokyo Bay. Now, of course, it's a stone's throw from the USS Arizona Memorial. The veterans got to share their stories at local schools on Oahu. They watched active duty Marines perform drills in pouring tropical rains. They visited the National Cemetery of the Pacific in the Punch Bowl Crater overlooking Waikiki, and they soaked in the magnitude of American sacrifice. And, of course, they were on hand for the official commemoration at Pearl Harbor, complete with a shipboard salute from a destroyer. But not just any destroyer. If you go to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you can watch the complete ceremony. And perhaps because of the storms that battered Oahu, they were dealing with some audio problems, so you may hear a bit of a hum under some of the speakers. But here's what makes that particular destroyer that passed by, the USS Chung Hoon, so relevant to the morning's events.
Her namesake was the late Rear Admiral Gordon Paea Chung Hoon, a Hawaiian native and the first Asian American to graduate from the U.S. Naval Academy. He was also a crew member of the USS Arizona, who narrowly missed the fate of his fellow shipmates on December 7, 1941. Admiral Chung Hoon served with distinction during the war and is recipient of the Navy Cross and Silver Star for conspicuous gallantry and extraordinary heroism as commanding officer of the destroyer USS Sigsbee. USS Chung Hoon's participation in the ceremony is all the more significant as she passes close by America's newest destroyer, the USS Daniel Inouye. Chung Hoon will also render honors to the Pearl Harbor survivors and World War II veterans who have gathered with us here today. These men and women in the center of our gathering represent the greatest generation of Americans in our 245-year history. No one before them, and no one since, has been asked to answer the call to serve and sacrifice in a global cause the way that they did between the years of 1941 and 1945. It is only fitting that we, the generations that follow, honor them for their example of faithful service. On the morning of December 7th, the USS Oklahoma was moored alongside the Maryland at Foxtrot 5, where you see the USS Missouri today. The Oklahoma capsized as a result of the attack with a loss of 429 sailors and Marines. This morning, we are honored to have with us Mr. David Russell from Oregon, a Pearl Harbor survivor who was stationed aboard the USS Oklahoma when the ship capsized. Mr. Russell will face the USS Arizona and represent the World War II veterans in a return salute to the USS Chung Hoon as she passes close aboard.
So 101-year-old David Russell, simply Russ to those who know him, he delivered that powerful salute. He's one of the veterans who experienced a week-long tour with the Best Defense Foundation. And if you're a regular listener, I'm sure you remember his story. Here's just a very brief excerpt of what Russell experienced 80 years before his historic salute while aboard the battleship USS Oklahoma.
I was in the compartment just reading a book, and Lieutenant Rommel gets on the loudspeaker. He says, this is attack, fellas. And he didn't say this. He said an S word. And boy, that woke us up. About that time, those torpedoes start hitting us. And pow, 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 pow. The 9 of them hit us.
And where were you?
I was in the compartment. And those torpedoes just hit me, well, probably 80 feet from me and just across from me there.
So what did that feel like?
Oh, my goodness. You know, as clean as those ships were, dust. I don't know where the dust came from, but it probably come from the blowers, the air blowers.
Mm-hmm.
You started coughing, so much dust. It's unbelievable.
Well, it sure seems like there's nothing that could prepare you for this. And you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on, probably, right?
Yeah, what do I do next? When he said air attack, I had 2 battle stations. If we came under air attack, I was to sink cover. I had to go down below decks, below the armor decks. And if we go to surface action, my battle station was the 5-inch 51s. They were in casemates alongside the ship.
Uh-huh. So where'd you go?
So air attack, I went down below decks. And I went down. That hatch I went through is 13 and a half inches thick armor plate. From 13 and a half inches down to 8 inches, 3/4 of inch length of the ship. And they started to close the hatch. And I said, well, you know, my mind started operating. And I said, I've been trained to be a first loader on an anti-aircraft gun. In case somebody gets hurt, I can replace them. And by the time I got out of that ship, it was halfway over. Yeah, it began to capsize, you know, right away.
Yeah, you said the number, 9 torpedoes, and that ship
several
starts...
Several bombs, yeah.
And it's starting to turn over, ends up tipping over something like 150 degrees, right? I mean, almost completely upside down.
And trying to get out of those compartments, you know, people were dogging, you know, they dog everything down, those hatches. There's 8 dogs on every hatch. It's not like these quick disconnect hatches that we have today. But I would try to undog them, and somebody else on the other side would dog them down. And then I had to climb over lockers. The concussion or the explosions caused those lockers to break loose. So I had to divert myself around to get out or climb over the lockers.
Could you see? Was it dark under there?
We had portholes when I got up on the main deck there, and they were still open.
Right, but you had to get up there first. So you're scrambling over fallen lockers. Is there water rushing in too?
See, we had battle lanterns also.
Right.
When we locked last Tuxedo, the battle lanterns went on.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it's just chaos all around you probably, right? You have other guys that are trying to figure out what they're trying to do or where they're going?
Yeah, it was pretty well organized. You know, we used to well train. We had no problems. You know, people up starboard, down port.
Have you ever stopped to think about what if I hadn't made that decision to go topside when I did?
Those men are still down there. Yeah, they got trapped, yeah.
And of all the ships at Pearl Harbor, only the Arizona lost more men than the Oklahoma.
429 we lost. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends. Mm-hmm.
What was going through your mind while this is happening?
Oh, everything goes, why did Japan do this? You know, why?
David Russ Russell was also featured on NBC's Today Show this week. I have that clip posted for you as well at hometownheroesradio.com and on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. In Washington, D.C. on December 7th, President Joe Biden participated in a wreath laying at the National World War II Memorial. At Pearl Harbor, the 150 World War II veterans on hand heard this recorded message from the Commander-in-Chief.
December 7th, 1941 is still that day that lives in infamy. 80 years later. I'll never forget visiting the USS Arizona Memorial 10 years ago. Pay my respects to the 2,403 patriots who lost their lives in that terrible December day, 1,177 on the Arizona alone. Seeing those names described in the marble, sprinkling flower petals into the sea, I brought my granddaughter, Naomi, with me because we must always remember what Pearl Harbor meant for our country, generation after generation. To honor those who perished, salute the courage of the greatest generation who stood to defend our nation and our values in the world. And remember, all that came after that fateful day. Not only our entrance into World War II, the enormous sacrifices we made as a nation, and the hard-fought victory by our allies, but also decades of diplomacy and international leadership that followed to rebuild a world devastated by war, transform forever former enemies into close allies, and create a rules-based international order that spurred more than seven decades of relative peace, unprecedented economic growth, and undreamed-of human innovation. So today, as we once more commemorate the courage and sacrifice of those who fought and died in the attacks on Pearl Harbor, remember the debt we owe all those who put themselves on line for our freedom. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
So those words from President Joe Biden were part of the official observance of Pearl Harbor for the 80th anniversary. And the crowd also heard these words from one of the only two men still with us who were on the USS Arizona that fateful Sunday morning.
Aloha. I'm Lou Contra, a World War II veteran and Pearl Harbor survivor. Thank you for inviting me to participate from California. Every year, we honor the heroes who lost their lives on December the 7th, 1941. Over the course of 2 hours, more than 2,400 servicemen and civilians were killed. Almost half of them went down with the USS Arizona and remain there to this day. I was aboard the USS Arizona that morning and witnessed the awful destruction firsthand. I'm grateful to have survived, to have had the opportunity to serve throughout World War II. But for thousands of people, the first day of the war was also the last they saw of it. The loss of those lives showed us what was at stake. At the same time, their courage ignited a spark that rallied Americans all across the country and redefined the meaning of service. For those of us who survived that terrible day, we all share something in common. December the 7th, 1941 changed our lives. Not just for those of us on the USS Arizona or at Pearl Harbor, but throughout the United States. It affected those of us who served as well as our families, our friends, and our neighbors. Millions of Americans were mobilized overnight, traveling thousands of miles to answer the call. Many took on roles that they had never dreamed of. Some who had never set foot beyond city limits were now crossing seas, oceans. The war introduced a new realm of possibilities, opportunities that hadn't been available before, but also terrible dangers that tested our character at every turn. Our generation faced those possibilities head on with valor and selflessness. Far from home, we went above and beyond the call of duty, often making the ultimate sacrifice for our fellow Americans. Those efforts not only earned the title of the greatest generation, but also set a new standard of service for those who have followed. It is a great honor to recognize the men and women who were part of this history, and especially those who didn't get to see the legacy they would leave behind. Before I finish this, I want to say the 2,403 servicemen killed that day, 1,177 of my shipmates aboard the Arizona, God bless you. Today is a day to pay homage to those men. A lot of people call us heroes, but we're really not heroes. The ones who gave everything, their lives, are the heroes. Mahalo.
USS Arizona survivor Lou Conter weighing in from his home in Grass Valley, California on the 80th anniversary of a day that would redefine his life and certainly change the world. It's time for our first break, but there's much more to come, including the keynote speech at Pearl Harbor this year from the Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro. We'll also hear from two of those 150 World War II veterans privileged to attend. We caught them as they returned home from their journey. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. I always love hearing from listeners, and so many of you tell me you listen to Hometown Heroes while you're on the road. Nobody spends more time on the road than our friends in the trucking business. And if that's your business, I'm sure you know about Central Valley Trailer Repair. If you don't, you really should. Conveniently located near California's major transportation arteries, CV VTR has stockpiles of parts waiting for you in Fresno and in Stockton, with experienced service technicians ready to handle even the most difficult of repairs. Central Valley Trailer Repair is an authorized Great Dane sales, parts, and service center, and you can always find a huge inventory of new and used semi-trailers for sale too. Dry freight, refrigerated, flatbed, whatever you're looking for, CVTR has you covered. How about 24-hour emergency service? You bet. What can't CVTR help you with? That's a question I can't answer, so you'll have to ask them yourself at 1-800-877-8444. That's 1-800-877-8444. The website, that's simple, cvtr.com. For Central Valley Trailer Repair, and tell them you heard about them on Hometown Heroes.
Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Some of you listening right now heard those very same words as they were first broadcast, perhaps on these very same radio airwaves 80 years ago. And this year, on Oahu, with 150 honored World War II veterans in attendance, the keynote speech to address the significance of Pearl Harbor, the American response that followed, and why it all still matters today, was delivered by the Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro. Again, forgive the hum that plagued the sound system in Hawaii Tuesday morning.
Air raid on Pearl Harbor. This is no drill. Those words were broadcast to the fleet from right there on Ford Island at 7:58, 80 years ago. 2 minutes later, an armor-piercing bomb penetrated the decks of USS Arizona, igniting her forward ammunition magazine. The resulting explosion and fire killed 1,177 sailors and Marines, the greatest loss of life ever on any U.S. Navy ship. In just under 2 hours, 21 ships of the United States Pacific Fleet were either sunk or damaged. 188 aircraft were destroyed. Another 159 were damaged. The material costs were grave. The human costs were even worse. 2,403 dead, 1,178 wounded, sailors, Marines, soldiers, and civilians. Many of those civilians were Hawaiian Americans caught in the fury of the attack throughout the island. We honor them here today as well. We gather today to remember all of those that we lost on that infamous day. But we also gather to honor the bravery and the skill of all who fought back, those that saved lives and those that persevered. Because it wasn't just the fleet that was attacked here at Pearl Harbor. It wasn't even just our nation. It was the very future of freedom and democracy. No one understands the value of those words more than someone born in a land where neither freedom nor democracy exists. My family fled Cuba when I was a young child seeking a new life in the United States. We found that better life because of the honor, the courage, and the commitment of those who have always fought to protect our nation's freedoms. We found it because of the veterans, you all sitting right here today, who also served from every background. African Americans like Petty Officer Dory Miller, who earned the Navy Cross for firing back at the enemy from his ship, the USS West Virginia. Irish Americans like Ensign Francis Flaherty, who earned the Medal of Honor by sacrificing himself on the Oklahoma, guiding shipmates to safety. Native Americans like Rear Admiral Francis J. Meem, who navigated a cruiser during the attack on Pearl Harbor. Hispanic Americans like Marine Private Richard Trujillo, a new recruit serving aboard USS Nevada, and Naval Aviator Manuel Gonzalez, one of the first American casualties of the war. Italian Americans like Marine Gunnery Sergeant John Bassoloni, who would later earn the Medal of Honor for his heroics on Guadalcanal. Asian Americans like Army Lieutenant Daniel Inouye, who we will honor tomorrow with the commissioning of a destroyer in his name. Hawaiian Americans like Ben Kanahili, a civilian who was awarded the Medal of Merit for his heroism that day. And many women, like Anne Donio, one of the nurses aboard the USS Solis at Ford Island, who tirelessly treated over 130 wounded and burned sailors and Marines as the attack continued all around them. We remember each of them and so many others of every background and birthplace, all Americans who fought that day or volunteered to serve soon after. They lived up to our national motto, et pluribus unum, of many one. We are all Americans. They made it clear that the United States will never sacrifice our beloved principles. And they sent a clear signal to authoritarian states everywhere that we will never back down. Just like those brave souls, generation after generation of Americans have risen to carry freedom's torch over the past 8 decades. And as the USS Arizona Memorial reminds us, freedom does not come cheap. We gather today not only to mourn those who were lost on December 7, 1941, but to remember why they were here in the first place. They answered their nation's call. They placed themselves in harm's way, and they fulfilled their oath to the fullest extent. We will never forget warriors like Senator Bob Dole, who served with valor in Europe and carried the wounds of war through a long life of honored public service. We will never waver in defense of the peace and security forged through the sacrifice of that greatest generation. And we will carry their legacy forever in the United States Navy and in the Marine Corps. A reminder of that legacy sits in my office in Washington, D.C. It's a ship's bell, time-worn and battle-scarred. It is stamped with the name USS Vestal, a repair ship that was secured outboard of the Arizona on that fateful December morning. When Arizona exploded, 6 sailors were trapped in a fire control tower. One of the stranded sailors was Petty Officer Don Stratton of Red Cloud, Nebraska, who died earlier this year. And I just recently met his family. In his memoir, he wrote, "The ship was ablaze. Our shipmates were dead, wounded, and fighting to live. We were all wounded and had no way out." But these sailors were not alone, nor were they forgotten. A sailor on USS Vestal, Petty Officer George, spotted them. He tossed them a line, despite orders to cut loose from the sinking ship. He urged these wounded sailors to climb across the sagging rope, hand over hand, over the burning water. All 6 of those men made it across to safety. We sometimes talk about our victory in World War II as if it was inevitable, only a matter of time. But there was nothing inevitable about one sailor's decision to toss that line. And there was nothing inevitable about the courage it took for those wounded men to get across from the lowest point in the line to the safety of the Vestal. And it took millions of individual acts of valor and courage at home and overseas to carry our nation across the long ordeal of World War II. Today, we remember and honor them and the many Pearl Harbor and World War II veterans who are with us today. We carry your legacy as we stand ready once again to defend freedom and democracy around the world. Let there be no mistake. In the face of authoritarian threats, we will never back down. We will defend our freedom and stand by our partners and allies around the globe. We will always be like Petty Officer Joe George, ready to toss a line to all of those individuals and nations in need. We will always be like Petty Officer Don Stratton, ready to cross through the fire to continue the fight. So on behalf of a grateful nation, on behalf of our President and our Secretary of Defense, I thank all who fought through that long and horrific war and all the families who served and sacrificed along them. I also thank those who rose to defend freedom in Korea and Vietnam, the Cold War, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, and every other conflict. I also want to thank you, the American people, for your unwavering support of our military and their families. It's so very important to us. And most of all, I thank the men and women who continue to serve today in our nation's military. They are also brave souls. May God bless each and every one of you. May God protect your families. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Carlos Del Toro, Secretary of the Navy. And if that story about Don Stratton escaping the burning USS Arizona because of the heroic acts of USS Vestal sailor Joe George sounded a little bit familiar, perhaps you've heard it from Stratton himself here on Hometown Heroes. He was amazed all the way until his passing last year that he managed to survive that situation.
Had to be a lot to do with the good Lord, I guess. But we were kind of trapped up there. We got out of the director and on the deck there, and the vessel was alongside a repair ship, and we got a hold of a seaman there that threw us a heaving line that's a line with a lead on the end to stretch it out, and a small line, and then he added a big, heavier line, and we pulled that across, and we tied it off on the Arizona, and we started hand over hand across it, and we were already burnt. I was burned like over 60% of my body, I guess. The bomb that hit on the starboard side behind number 2 turret went into 1,000,000 pounds of ammunition and it blew up. That just was a fireball that just engulfed us up there where we were at, and no way to escape or get off. So until we got the line there to go hand over hand across, we're kind of just stymied up there, and you're just trying to get out away from the flames and thinking about how the hell am I going to get out of here. It's about probably 65, 70 feet across there, and we had to go hand over hand across there.
As I told the crowd in Clovis, California, during remarks I was privileged to share this Pearl Harbor day, get a hold of Don Stratton's book, All the Gallant Men is the title, and you'll understand so much more about the events of December 7th, 1941, as well as the burden and the mantle those survivors carried with them. Richard Grantham was not at Pearl Harbor in 1941, but he was there in 2021, thanks to the Best Defense Foundation. And if you're wondering who some of those 150 World War II vets present for the commemoration were, here's a taste of why that occasion meant so much to them, too. Dick Grantham's neighbors in Arroyo Grande, California, know how fortunate he was to survive a kamikaze attack much later in the war aboard the attack transport USS DuPage.
The ship's company would take all over all the duty of the ship, and so I was like a fifth wheel. They didn't know what to do with me, so they assigned me to a gun, and I was on a gun crew, and that gun crew was on the port side of the ship, just forward of the fantail a little bit with that was a 1.1 gun at the time, and there was a whole crew of us in there on the port side. That's the ship that the kamikaze did land on right there, and destroyed that whole port side of the ship. And my gun crew, I guess I'm the only one that survived, from what I hear, and all the others died instantly. And I even had one of my friends was on a 240, and he and I were really good friends. And he was from Fontana. We'd talk about different things back in, when we'd go to the Moonlight Rollaway in Pasadena and different stuff. And we were talking about it. He says, well, if one of us dies accidentally, if one of us dies, the survivor will go visit the other's parents. Well, neither of us had any idea that anything would happen to either of us. Well, I had to visit his parents. And there's another thing. His parents, that was their only son. And they got the letter from the War Department that says, we regret to inform you that your son has been killed in action. And what those parents went through, I'll never forget. My mother, for a year, she didn't really know what was really wrong with me. So my poor mother had to suffer, and my dear mother is really dear to me. I feel really remorseful for that, what she had to go through there.
Well, and as you said, your friend's mother became a Gold Star mother. Her son was killed in that same incident that wounded you. Do you remember his name, that sailor from Fontana?
Yes, I do. John Shriver. And the first thing that they asked me was, Johnny Shriver, they said, I've got a picture of him lost upstairs. But anyway, they asked him, did he suffer? The first thing they asked me, did he suffer? And I says, no, he didn't suffer. He was dead before he knew anything was happening. It was instant. Because with me, it was like I was being barbecued in a microwave instantly, and I didn't know what was. My first indication was I thought maybe the 5-inch cannon on the fantail had backfired. So I didn't know. The heat was so tremendous, that terrible, terrible, terrible heat. And I remember trying to get away from that heat, and I backed into this thing, a magazine. I thought, oh, there's bullets in there. I better get out of here. And you think of a million things in split second that don't happen there otherwise. And so I remember that there's other guys that were trying to get down this one ladder that goes down onto the fantail. And I figured these guys needed that ladder better than I did. So I climbed over the side, and it was about a 10-foot drop. And I dropped to the fantail, and because trying to get out of the heat was so horrible. I never felt any heat like that in my life, ever. I hope I never do again. But anyway, I remember there was guys jumping off the fantail there into the water, and I was about ready to jump in the water myself, you know, because we thought the ship was going to sink. Because the whole thing was nothing but fire. And so I looked over the side of that. It was nighttime, black, inky water there. And I thought of octopuses and sharks. And I thought, I'm going to try to take my chance a little longer aboard of a chicken, I guess. And so it pays to be chicken. And the ship didn't sink, though. It pays to be chicken. So then the next thing I knew, I was in line. I don't know how I was got in line, but there's a guy behind me, a guy forward from me, and we were pushed along. And I remember I run into this one guy, and he says he's bleeding in the face. And I've had to have anxiety. So I gave him my handkerchief, and then we all went midships. And that midships, there was a Warrant Boatswain kind of directing traffic. And so he pointed down to go down, and the others pointed to go up, you know. And so when I came up there, pointed me down. And at this time, you just follow orders. You don't know what's going on, you know. And so I went down, and lo and behold, I was in sick bay. And in sick bay, the corpsmen were overwhelmed, and there were stretchers to carry, or there was bandage to help guys get in, caught, and legs gone off, and it was horrible in there. So I started carrying stretchers and help bandaging stuff, helping. It was about 2 hours later, you know, and about 2 hours later, one time we were down there over the loudspeaker, they said that on this bomber, it was a bomber that landed on our twin-engine bomber that landed on our ship, and one bomb went off. The bomb that went off was about, 25 feet from where I was standing, and it went and it destroyed the whole gun crew except me. But anyway, there were a couple of heroes to go to throw the bomb over the side that didn't go off. And about 2 hours later, things begin to settle down pretty good. And so one of the corpsmen come by, and he says, "Okay, Dick, it's your turn." And I says, "For what?" And he says, "Look at your arms." Well, from my waist on up, I was burnt, and there was blood all over it. I didn't realize. Here I was working and doing stuff, and they call it suffering from shock or something. I didn't feel any. The pain I originally felt was that heat when the thing first went off. It was horrible, horrible heat. That really hurt. But after a while, I was just busy doing stuff and carrying stretchers and bandaging. I didn't think about it. And here my arms are all bloody. My upper part of my body was burnt. And so they put these big grease all over me, some kind of grease, and then bandages prop my arms up. So I couldn't even move my arms after that because the bandages kept my arms almost straight out, and so I couldn't do anything. So I was able to walk up to the bridge and up able to get to the bridge, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even move my arms or anything except for these doggone bandages that were up there. And But that was it. And as far as pain goes, I think to this day, the one that really suffered was my mom. Kind of brings tears to my eyes to think about what my mom must have went through. And now that I have kids of my own, I just think 17-year-old kid in a situation like that, and you get that telegram, must have almost killed her.
Our veterans have sacrificed so much, and so have their families. Again, that was Richard Grantham, one of the 150 World War II veterans privileged to be on hand in person for the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. When we come back, more of the vets who experienced that occasion and what a couple of them have to say about that experience. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.
Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea, you're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
The Sammy Kaye Orchestra sang it, and a united America did it, with help from its allies, of course. Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, giving you highlights from the 80th anniversary commemoration of the attack on Pearl Harbor. I mentioned 150 World War II veterans were there on site to mark the occasion, 63 of them traveling with the Best Defense Foundation, an amazing nonprofit led by former NFL All-Pro linebacker Donnie Edwards, himself the grandson of a decorated World War II veteran. Glenn Stenson of Colorado is a former football player, coach, and referee, so he especially enjoyed that connection with Donnie. But as Glenn told us when he shared his story on Hometown Heroes, he loves to speak to school children and make sure they're aware of what his generation did during World War II.
Our nation's built on history. The world is built on history. But unfortunately, in order to water down and get these kids into this modern-day social life of political correctness and that type of thing, we have thrown the key things in history that made our nation great. The kids don't know it. They don't get it. And the only way they can get it is if we veterans can get to these schools and talk to the kids. I talked to them about bullying even. Last Veterans Day, I was in the elementary school and I had a bunch, 12 other veterans with me. There with their grandkids in the school and one thing or another. And that day, I don't know why, it hit me. I said, okay, all you kids stand up, raise your right hand. No, son, your right hand. That's some little kids with the left. I say it after me and the veterans will. And we did the oath that they take to go into the service. I said, when you grow up and go into the service, this is what you will say. And our color guard was there and they said, it was amazing to watch the reaction of those kids. It was just something I did on a spur of the moment.
Your father went in the Navy ahead of you, beat you to the punch. The whole duration of World War II, you guys saw each other exactly once.
Once. That was when I had boot camp leave, and he was on his way to Hawaii, and then to Kwajalein.
So you both came home back to Holyoke at the same time?
Yeah, except he kind of got mad at me. I walked in, it was June 28th, I'll never forget it. I said, "Happy birthday, Dad." He says, "What's the matter with you? My birthday is June 24th. Never forgot that.
How do you think he felt about you being out there risking your life?
I think he worried. Of course, both he and I, our thoughts were on Mom at home with those kids. Again, out of the depression, not a lot of money, and her with five kids and Dad's Navy allotment. I was going to try and save some money with my extra I had in the service, and Mom would write me a letter, and she'd say, "Sorry, Junior, I had to use your money." So I come home in the service without any savings. But it meant my brothers and sisters had food. So sadly, our family wasn't the only one in that boat, I'm sure.
There's another reality of our greatest generation that we don't always hear about, highlighted there by Glenn Stenson. Also there at Pearl Harbor for the 80th anniversary, Calvin Pacetta of Las Vegas, reflecting on the lives lost not just on December 7th, but 406,000 of them lost throughout World War II.
I knew quite a few of them that didn't make it home. Just in my memories, you know, forever and ever. I'll never forget them. If you don't remember their names, you remember their faces when they were young. You won't know them today, like I'm going on the honor flight. Would have never recognized none of them, even if I knew them. Sometimes I look at us old guys, I wonder, how the heck did we win this war? How did we win that war? You were young and the crazy, you know, we did think of our lives, you know, being killed and everything, but we never thought it would happen to us. It was always somebody else. Not that we wanted it to be somebody else, but it just happened that way. Proud I was in that World War II and all the wars that I was in. I am really proud to serve my country, and I would do it all over again. I know I would. I really do.
Especially after what he experienced this week on Oahu. That was Calvin Pacetta. You can link to any of these veterans' original interviews at hometownheroesradio.com, and that includes Al Bloomer, who was on the USS Enterprise, thankfully out to sea when the Japanese arrived. Al would witness the B-25s taking off of the USS Hornet for the Doolittle Raid. He'd participate in the pivotal Battle of Midway and even endure his own close calls later in the war. Al had not been to Oahu since World War II, and here's what he had to say after receiving a surprise welcoming committee at Fresno Yosemite International Airport back home in California.
To me, it was very interesting, all the changes that have been made, even at the Pearl Harbor itself there. They have that bridge across there, which was never there when I was there. And the Navy made a museum out of the North Island now, but that's one place we didn't get to go. We went on to Battleship Missouri one day, and we had lunch on the Fan Hill, but we weren't there for the ceremony. We sat over on across the street from the memorial. And we had a ceremony there where different officers gave speeches and so forth. And that destroyer went on by. Probably has been in the newspaper, I'm sure. But we was all under a canvas so we wouldn't get wet. And we also visit the punch bowl where the people were grave our last day. That was very impressive. That's the first time I've been there, and I was over there a few times. Well, it was almost 2 years I was there, but we never went there. We was always doing something else or going ashore because we never got ashore too often during wartime. But it was very nice. And I tell you, they fed you. Every time you turn around, it was time to eat again. I couldn't eat all that. I mean, it was good. But, you know, when you're home, you don't eat that much. But it was good. I want to thank the Defense Foundation for sponsoring us. They did a real good job. And we had about three buses full every time we'd go someplace. The veteran had to stay in it until the other people got off and got your wheelchair for you. I had a walker. I don't know how, but we bent the back wheel. And I was kind of glad because it was more fun riding around on a wheelchair than walking, pushing it.
Let me ask you this, because I know you've been involved in veterans groups for a long time, and you've talked about your story and you've shared it with people. But being there with this group and seeing what it meant to so many other people. Did that add to your perspective at all?
Well, yes. You know, we all got friendly. I mean, we always talked to each other. There was no griping or anything like that. It was just outstanding. I enjoyed myself. I mean, I can't get over all the high-rise buildings they build over there. My goodness sake.
When's the last time you had been there?
Oh, let's see, back in 42, the end of 42.
So it has changed a little bit in 79 years.
Yes, it did, yeah. It's an enjoyable trip. We went to the one ceremony out at the Marine Barracks island there. Rain was pouring down, and those guys were all lined up out there. And I tell you, they got soaking wet. It rained that day. You couldn't believe it. I wish we could have had some here. Yeah. It was almost 10 inches of rain there to that first storm that went through there.
And what about being at Pearl Harbor and reflecting on those 2,400 lives lost, the day you were out with the Enterprise and wished you could have done something? What was it like to be in those moments reflecting on their sacrifice?
I felt sorry for them because we come around, we came in that next evening and I seen all that. The Oklahoma turned upside down, the Shaw over there burning on that dry dock, and Okalaga turned over on its side, and oil in the bay there, and it just, I couldn't believe how destructive it really was. Every time I see pictures of it.
Al Bloomer, able to experience Pearl Harbor again all these years later thanks to the Best Defense Foundation. One person he got to know quite well on this latest adventure is 101-year-old Dorothy Jones. During the war, she was one of the first women to sign up for Navy service in the waves, and in the last few years, she's encountered more and more people expressing their gratitude for her trailblazing contributions so many years ago. She came home on the same American Airlines flight as Al Bloomer, grinning ear to ear at the sight of her red, white, and blue welcoming party.
Well, one of the things about that experience, it started with our own honor flight out of Fresno. This, to me, built onto that. And I think everybody is going to do what I'm, all my Christmas shopping is planned. I can send the donations to the Honor Flight and feel that I've done my Christmas shopping and giving and be with them again on the next trip.
What was the most meaningful part of this trip for you?
Well, except for spending it with my daughter. I couldn't have done it without her. And she raced over that place like a racehorse. She was after one thing or another. But we did meet so many people like Al, and everybody has his own story to tell. And I think some good writing is going to develop from what some of these people, and of course we've heard some of the stories before, but not nearly all of them. They're wonderful.
And of course, you know, that is exactly why this radio program exists, to try to capture and share those stories from long ago. But it's also so heartwarming to see what these veterans experience today. In Dorothy's case, as she enjoyed this Best Defense Foundation journey with her daughter, she marveled at how she was received, even getting a hearty hug from a 4-star admiral.
Oh, Kathy was so impressed with people in their rank because, and she'd say, Mom, what's he? What was he? Look at that, what's he? And Sham, my husband, was a commander in the Navy. But Kathy kept wondering who that is. But to see these, you don't ordinarily see an admiral walking around on a rain-sick deck. Oh, boy, when that admiral got in within, you saw me pop up there like I was a yeoman in the Navy, for heaven's sakes. I said, shoot me.
You mean you didn't get any hugs from 4-star admirals during World War II?
Not too many. They were a little thin on the ground. But these guys, you guys, the Honor Flight and this one, have just done such a thing to shake the valley up. And I hope it lasts. I hope people will continue or start if they haven't already. Make donations. 'Cause everybody, every American should see Washington, D.C. to begin with. And the surrounding territory there. And then they should get on either a first-class flight. Boy, did that spoil me rotten. I've never been able to afford that sort of service. It is absolutely great.
And last thing for you. You just said every American should go to Washington, D.C. Why do you think it's important for Americans to visit Pearl Harbor like you did?
Oh, to see what could happen to our country if we are not prepared, are not aware that that could happen. And to look at that sky and envision planes. They had been planning a long time, but it's this little caper. But then I've read on the plane, I read quite a bit of things about the Japanese and how they changed their thinking when they realized that this country's not going to take that sort of thing. Not for a minute. It took a lot of people doing a lot of things, and it will continue to. I was there the last year of the war, stationed on the Big Island, the island of Hawaii. And, it, of course, by this time the war is beginning to die down and get thinner. And we knew that eventually that would be done. We did our duty. We worked. But still, there was a lot of fun, a great lot of fun. Yeah. But it's so good to get home.
Welcome home to Dorothy Jones and all the rest of the 150 World War II veterans who journeyed to Pearl Harbor for the 80th anniversary. In doing so, they represented so many more who could not be there, providing a point of connection that before long is only going to come through recordings or the written word. Hats off to everyone in Hawaii and here in the lower 48 who worked hard and long to make that event come together. And again, a special thanks to Donnie Edwards and the Best Defense Foundation for exceeding even the highest expectations and adding a capstone experience to the lengthy lives of some of your favorite hometown heroes you've met on the radio over the years. Let's all remember Pearl Harbor. As Dorothy Jones referenced, let's keep America alert. And if you'd like, you can say it with me. Let's all remember that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.